The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
Thursday morning, Thursday the 10th of November, the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. We played the song earlier this morning. We're very happy to have Rick Mixter on the line to talk more about his new book about the Fitzgerald. He's on with us right now. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you so much for sharing maritime history with your listeners.
Well, and thank you for being a part of that as well. I know that you are probably one of the leading experts on the Edmund Fitzgerald. Obviously, we're all fascinated by this, living on the Great Lakes as we do. What has led you to become even more interested than many of us and really dig deep to get some of the answers?
I think it's just the access. You know, being in media like yourself, I was a television reporter, and I had access to interview people and the skills to be able to get these stories. So since 1994, when I actually dove the Fitzgerald in the submarine, I've been on fire to find every living eyewitness that built the ship, that sailed the ship, and, of course, the people who investigated it, from the Coast Guard to Cousteau and all the way through. So that's where I think my unique perspective comes for Tattletale Sounds.
And, yeah, tell us about the title, because the title comes right from the Gordon Lightfoot song, doesn't it?
It does. His lyrics haunt me. I mean, the wind and the wires made a tattletale sound. Gordon was talking about the clinking, the clanking, and the roar of the wind as the freighter goes by. And that's part of it, but the tattletale for me is a more of the behind the scenes. This is the first book of 300 pages of the men who flew the airplane, that found the Fitzgerald, the Coast Guard captain and his crew of men that came across Lake Superior, Jean-Michel Cousteau's interview on what his crew saw. So behind-the-scenes stuff that's never been printed on the expeditions themselves, and especially the building of the Fitzgerald, which I've never seen in detail.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Is there any one part of this book that jumps out at you as being maybe the headline or the big story from this book?
I think it is the eyewitness accounts behind the scenes. I found a lot of Coast Guard material from the ROV survey they did in 76, and it puts a light on what they were looking for and when they found it and how excited they got as they found that the hatch clamps that they believed had some problems. I also look at the 89 expedition and the troubles that they had with the 3D ROV that went down. And only by listening to all of the underwater footage do you hear this this chatter in the background of what's going on. So to bring that to people, to bring it to the readers who have heard the story, it sank. There's no question it was a giant wave that pushed it down. But now get the personalities behind it. And I think because so many of them have passed away now, it was really time to do it.
You interviewed the cook from the Fitzgerald who left the ship just weeks before its sinking. What was that interview like?
It was incredible. He came up from Texas, Nacogdoches, Texas, and Red Bergner had not only been the longtime cook on the flagship for Columbia, so he was the best cook in the fleet. That's why they put him on the ship where he would make meals for the bigwigs at the steel companies like National Steel and Reserve Mining. But Red was a personality. He talked about the big storms and the revelation that one time he rode in a lifeboat with two other crewmen thinking the ship was going to sink because McSorley was just that much into the bad weather. The other revelation really is the amount of storms that they went through. The Fitzgerald was a weather ship, and I've got all the old Weather Bureau accounts that the Fitzgerald logged into where they heralded the ship as being the one that went through the most storms, and I think that really paints a picture for why that ship is on the bottom today.
Mm. Will we ever know exactly what caused the Fitzgerald to sink, or was it just too many different things all happening all at once?
It really was too many different things. And it, as you look at the theory, start to think about the Anderson was right behind them. So why wouldn't the three sisters sink the Anderson, which was a longer ship, if that was the theory that, you know, it broke atop some big waves? I think it had structural problems. I know it was taking water because that's what McSorley reported through at least two vents. He called them vents with a plural. So here's two 8-inch openings in the deck. And then the Coast Guard did find, as I did too, that the hatch clamps weren't all dogged down. And that's not enough to sink the ship, but it didn't help. And the calculations made by Captain Loosemore on how, what it would take just with the hatches leaking were enough to sink the ship. So there's a lot of things in play, you're right.
And it, what amazes me, Rick, is that 47 years on, we are still learning things about this ship and about the shipwreck itself and the cause. And it's fascinating. It's like peeling an onion. There are so many different layers to this story, aren't there?
It really is. And I could kick myself. I didn't know any of this in 94 when I dove down there. I was just hired as a television producer to write a documentary and to film it. And I wish I knew what I knew now, you know, where I can go down and really do an accurate survey. And it could happen. The Canadian government, restricts who goes down there. But I don't know that an individual like myself, it'd probably have to be a Bob Ballard or a Cousteau or somebody that would, you know, get access. But I sure would hope to be part of that because I have a lot of questions.
You've got to know a lot of the families of the sailors that went down with the Fitzgerald. What do you suppose today is like for them? I mean, this has got to be a tough day, I would think.
It is a tough day, but I don't think there's a group. And I'll be honest, I've interviewed two different family members, and I've talked with several others. And now we're seeing descendants that really didn't know the loved one that went down, but their grandchildren and nephews and nieces. But there's almost an amazing network of people that give them a collective hug. If you look on Facebook right now, it's all prayers for the families. And this is almost 50 years later that they're getting this love from people who realize what that loss was. We'll never personally know what it's like to have somebody vanish and not be able to bury them the way that those 29 men were, but to see the love that's out there, and I hope they see it in all of our hearts that have been down there as well, that we do this out of respect. That's why I visit these shipwrecks, is to tell the stories that we don't know everything that happened, and I try to keep that in light. And if Gordon Lightfoot didn't write a song about it, it means I have to do even more work to let people know about it. So the Fitzgerald gets its due every time. I just hope that we remember 5,000 other ships that have been down, you know, by the big waves.
Well, that's a great point. And really, this can be an entryway into learning more about maritime history and about some of those wrecks because, you know, if somebody, hears the song, they become interested in the Fitzgerald, you can quickly find yourself falling down the rabbit hole of information that's out there about so many other Great Lakes shipwrecks.
There's literally millions of people, Paul, that have done that. They hear the song. My point is the song has a lot of inaccuracies. I love Gordon Lightfoot. He is our patron saint of maritime history, but there's a lot of inaccuracies. That ship went past Port Huron 700 times.
Sure.
And it was not fully loaded for Cleveland. You know, it was partially loaded for Detroit. And the old cook was not on deck, and he didn't say, "I can't feed you," because the cook on the Anderson made a full meal. So there's a lot of inaccuracies, but I love the song, and I love the fact that it brings people to maritime history, which I think is important.
Talking with Rick Mixter, his new book is called Tattletale Sounds. It's about the new information about the Edmund Fitzgerald. There has not been a shipwreck on the Great Lakes like this since 1975. Do you think that that's because we learned how to avoid situations like this? Is it because of better weather predicting? Why has there, and thankfully, not been a wreck since the Fitzgerald?
Well, you're right. I mean, every 10 years we would lose a ship. I've really been with 250 sailors killed and 12 ships destroyed. 1940, I've interviewed people from that storm as well. And it really did kind of stop with the Fitzgerald as far as the sinkings during big storms. That's better technology in satellites that, you know, watch over the planet. We've also got better communications now with satellite phones and even cell phones that, you know, give connections to these sailors they didn't have before, Aegis systems. And now the lifeboats that deploy right when you get in the water, or an EPIRB that can track you exactly where you're at instead of, you know, hoping that they'd find you on the east end of Lake Superior. They can actually track right down to where your lifeboat is. So, and then the immersion suits too that came out of the sinking, and the buoy system that they implemented after the Fitzgerald went down to help monitor what those lakes are doing real time to make better decisions. And that's really what it comes down to. A lot of captains put their ships on the bottom, making bad decisions on conditions that they thought were less. And that's sadly what happens in so many of these storms. And I hate to be the armchair quarterback on that because, it's easy for me to say, but the truth is, every time, even with Captain Cooper saying, you know, he didn't think that storm would come in that fast, and they got caught literally open lake because of it.
Yeah. Amazing. Just I can't even begin to imagine. The book is called Tattletale Sounds, available where you buy books. Rick, what is your website? How can people connect with you online?
You bet. Shipwreckpodcast.com. Go there and hear my stories, hear the survivors from 1913, 1940, and so many other shipwrecks and rescues, amazing rescues on the lakes.
All right. Hope to get you back to port here on one of these days too, Rick.
I would love that, and I hope I'll see you there.
All right. Absolutely. Take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.